And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance. Pastor Vance, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The other day we exchanged notes and we were contemplating a subject that is often on people's minds. In fact, sooner or later you're going to think about it, guaranteed, and that is death, your own passing. We never know when that time will come, and for many folks it takes by surprise, and some people pass quietly, some people pass with a lot of pain, and it can be a fearful thing. So let's talk about passing and why the Christian has a special hope. So maybe you can take it from there, Pastor Vance.
This certainly is an important subject because we all have to do our own dying.
Yeah.
And we come into this world without anything, and we leave without anything. And in between, we have lots of struggles and blessings and happiness. But we all face an end. I'm always reminded of that Old Testament passage in the Psalms, "O Lord, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom," in the wisdom literature books. Speaks a lot about death, that is, Proverbs, Psalms. And I began reading Job here recently, it's a prominent topic, death and dying. Years ago, I studied a book when I was, I hate to say how many, but it was some time ago, a book by a lady by the last name of Kubler-Ross. And she wrote a book, a very famous book, Death and Dying. And she studied death and she studied dying and the stages of death and dying and so forth. And it's a pretty good book and it stood the test of time. It was not always quite biblical in some of its conceptions and so forth. I think she was a Swiss Protestant Christian, maybe not as conservative as I am, for sure. But it was a good work. And she brought this topic up to the general public in a way that I thought was very beneficial. And I think as pastors, we really don't deal with this as much as we should. Of course, we're afraid of getting morbid, you know, and so forth. And I can understand that. But the truth is, we have to do our own dying. We face our end, and of course, you and I are further along this road than maybe many of our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
So it's an appropriate subject.
Yeah, for sure. And like all people, the longer you live, the more your friends pass away, your acquaintances. We've had family members, older family members, that have passed away, And I reflect back on the passing of my mom in 2010 and my dad in 2020. I miss them terribly. It reminds you how important people are in your life, that we need to appreciate them and be as kind as we can towards those that are alive and that we talk with and live with.
Yes, no doubt. Recently, I saw some on YouTube videos about Mr. Rogers. I don't know whether most people knew or not, but he was a Presbyterian minister, and he was much more pious in his life than most people realize. He got up at something like 5 in the morning and read and prayed for 2 hours before he ever went to his studio and dealt with children. He was dying on his deathbed. He looked at his wife, and of course, he knew the scriptures very well because he'd spent time in them every day. And he looked at his wife, and she said, "He said, honey, do you think I'm one of the sheep?" And of course, he knew the gospel and so forth. And the truth is, the big question about death, of course, is that for Christians, in our understanding, death is not the end. And there is lots of scripture about death and dying and the resurrection. In fact, there are three kinds of death. Maybe people haven't considered this except in a kind of a loose way, but death is physical, of course, as we all know, and dying sometimes can be quite traumatic for some people and mm-hmm. what they go through. I think of my brother who had mesothelioma at the end and suffered mightily, particularly the last 2 or 3 weeks of his life. Death is physical. It's a separation from all that we know, our family, our friends, our goods, this world. And so that aspect of it we're quite aware of. But there is in the Bible a moral death as well. And Paul says, some of you, we have been, all of us at one point, dead in our trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have a kind of present death that you live with in your life, being dead to the things of God and dead to the things of your neighbor. You know, the two great commands, love God and love neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be restored, in a way, to life to be able to carry out those commands. And there is such a thing as a moral death. And then, of course, there is, and this is something we in some quarters they talk too much about. In other quarters, we don't talk enough about it, and that's eternal death.
Hmm.
And the Bible's clear that there are two roads in life, two ends, and so forth. The sheep and the goat parable is a very important thing at the last
yes.
judgment.
Yes.
The separation between the sheep and the goats, as Mr. Roger alluded to on his deathbed.
Mm.
We want to be one of the Lord's sheep and to hear his voice, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thy into the joys of the Lord. And that's something we got to keep in mind too. The scriptures are very realistic about death, that it's part of life and we keep it in mind, and keeping our end or the hopes and prospects for life in Christ as we have in the gospel keeps us I think on the right track. It's one of the things we ought to remember.
Yeah, that's right. We've gone to a number of viewings, funerals, that sort of thing, and it actually can be beneficial as a Christian. We've heard of the verse that it does us good to go to the house of mourning because the living will apply it to their hearts. I'm sure you've heard of that mm-hmm. verse.
Yes.
Pastors are very important during this time. They can give counsel and comfort and come alongside. I'll bet in your many years of pastoring, you've had to comfort many a family member when a loved one passed, Pastor Vance.
I've had when you were in the pastor for nearly 45 years, you have a lot of experience with people at the end of life. I have three sharp memories. My first funeral was an awful funeral. It was a 11-year-old boy who was hot dogging on a tractor, and he had a wreck. The Jones family, I was pastoring a church in Illinois, was a student pastor, and he was killed. He was kind of the darling little blonde-headed boy, cute as a button, athletic. Everyone gravitated to him, and the funeral was terrible. The family was the mother was from Austria. She'd come to America, married an American man. And I will never forget that. What a position to be in as a pastor, trying to bring comfort
yes.
to that situation. Then I remember in the same pastor, by the way, a Mr. Rose. And I went to visit him. His daughter said, you know, he's not communicating. And I went to him, and I went into the room where he was, and he was sitting on a chair like he would at the kitchen table, but he had it turned toward the wall, and he was sitting looking directly at the wall and would not communicate. Oh. He knew he was dying.
Oh.
And he'd already, in a psychological sense, separated from this world.
But that's right.
I prayed with him. He didn't communicate, just grunted. And I prayed with him and presented the gospel new and fresh and told him to embrace it again over and over. Make your calling and election sure.
That's right.
And I hope and pray that that was his last act of, if you will, of embracing the Lord constantly. We need to do that.
Yes.
And embracing what we know to be true. And so that was a memorable one, to say the least. I've had others.
Yeah.
But that was those stuck with me because I was a very young pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
A student pastor, and they're very difficult situations.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. My mind goes back to my two parents and the pastor that conducted the funeral. It was graveside service for my mom and then later my dad. And it was actually Pastor Mark Diedrich, and he did a very, very good job, tremendous job.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my wife's parents, it was Pastor Sherritt, did a marvelous job and met ahead of time and got information about the family, and that makes a big difference. And inevitably, to these four funerals, people come out, and they get to think about spiritual things. When we pass, Pastor Vance, when we pass, what do we know for sure from the Scriptures?
You're talking about the intermediate state.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Between, yeah, that's usually what it's called, the
yeah.
intermediate state between our physical death and judgment, if you will, into the
that's
eternal
right.
Kingdom. It's a difficult to get a picture of what the intermediate state is. We have a number of places in the Bible where we can pick up some information, but the truth is we don't have very much to go on, except verses like, to be absent from the body, says Paul, is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
But there's an intermediate state. It's in the Old Testament, it's called Sheol. It's sometimes translated as hell, or in the New Testament, Hades, which is a Greek word. Yeah, there's a Hebrew word, Hades. And these are words that were common. Well, Sheol in Hebrew, of course, in the Old Testament, it's very common. The word go, and it's a place where the dead go. And there's not much distinction between those who are blessed and know the Lord and those who don't. And the same thing in the New Testament. Hades is borrowed. It's a Greek word, and I used to teach philosophy, and of course Socrates is maybe the most famous death in the old world, the classical Greek, where he talked about going to Hades, that would be the place of the dead, and he would carry on his argumentation with wiser men than he had on earth to argue with.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul uses that language, but entirely different view of what things are about. Socrates, of course, believed in reincarnation over and over and so forth. But the New Testament does not teach reincarnation at all. Some Christians actually are not very informed, will incorporate some of these Eastern
right.
ideas or old
right.
Greek ideas into their thinking. But no, there's an old saying, a missionary card I got one time, a prayer request was, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
We got one time around to live in this world, and then we face our Maker.
That's right.
But what is the intermediate state? It is the state between death and the resurrection. And the Bible tells us, again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one of the places to go is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That's an instructive passage there, because it does depict the idea that the intermediate state is one of consciousness. You know, the Bible talks about sleep, but it's a euphemism for being in the Lord or whatever. Christianity, historic Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, whether you're Roman Catholic, Protestant, Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, whatever, all have rejected the notion of soul sleep.
Yes.
And Calvin, John Calvin, considered it quite a bit in his own writings to reject soul sleep. There is a consciousness after death. And the blessed believer is, in one sense, in Abraham's bosom, according to that parable that Jesus taught.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in a blessed state. But those who reject the grace of God are in a kind of torment. Now, this is not eternal hell or anything, but it's a kind of torment. But the important thing in that passage is that we are conscious after death.
Yeah.
And we are in the presence of God and being held and reserved. One of the things that comes up, of course, is purgatory in Roman Catholic theology. The Reformation, as you well know, was partly over the whole idea of purgatory in a way that medieval Catholicism held it. Protestants really don't understand what Catholics, Roman Catholics, teach about purgatory. But if you make it to purgatory in Roman Catholic theology, you're not lost. You're still saved. You just have to pay corporal punishments or the punishments for your sins that you committed on. It's like the mud room to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the mud room and clean yourself, or you get cleaned up, and then you can go on into your eternal.
It's a funny way to put it.
Home with God.
Yeah.
I do believe in purgatory, but not in, as a place, but as a purgation. We see it in places in the New Testament where our works will be burned up by fire.
Yes.
Our and so forth, evil works. And it seems to be an act in the process of glorification rather than a place.
No, right.
And that's part of our glorification of our evil and dead works being burned up, which I'm thankful for that's going to happen.
Yes, we've got so much baggage. And the Lord has mercy on us. Well, today we're talking with Dr. John Vance, our dear friend, pastor. Couple of things that are firm that you've mentioned so far is that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we know that our body is in the grave, hasn't been resurrected yet. So that means our spirit, for lack of a better word, goes into this presence of the Lord, assuming we're Christian. And that is a great deal of comfort. Some well-meaning folks will say, well, he's better off now, and he is. And you know, he's dancing around in heaven, but he may be, his spirit may be, but he doesn't have his resurrected body yet, does he?
No. We're not given privy to this state very much.
We're not.
The Bible says that eye has not seen nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what
right.
God has prepared for those who love him. But the Spirit has not revealed to us through the apostles much about the intermediate state.
Yeah.
But my father died at 98. he
wow.
has an interesting case. He died in 2014. He wanted to die. He got the place. He says, you know, I open up the newspaper. I see no people that I know, not even children of my former friends. And he said, you kids are all set. Mom's going on to heaven. The pets have all died. He says, is it wrong for me to pray that the Lord would just take me?
He was ready, wasn't he?
And he was totally ready. I said, no, I don't think so. But for the Lord has a time for you. And he raised a lot of questions about the intermediate state. Well, I know your mother and so forth. And I said, well, apparently in heaven we will know each other. But I can't say about the intermediate state. But he had a lot of questions because he was facing that and thinking about it very, very much.
Yeah, that's right.
So I said, I know you will be blessed because the scripture says you will be blessed in that way because you will see the face of the Lord, if you will.
That's right.
Be in his presence. So, yeah, I know a lot of people out there that are listening to us today have lots of questions. Well, I'm sorry I can't really address a lot of them in much better. But we know we're in the hands. You know, one of the greatest pastoral verses in all the Bible for me, and I used to try to remind people at times like this, I don't know all the answers, but I do know this, that underneath us are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Of a loving God who gave his son for us and for our salvation.
Amen.
And I trust that more than anything else. If you could describe anything, I trust the everlasting arms being under me.
Yes.
And supporting. It's a wonderful, blessed thought to know that that's true.
The Psalms are comforting. I remember one time not too long ago, the minister that was overseeing a funeral didn't show up, and they knew that I was an ordained elder, so they wanted me to say some words, totally unprepared. Kind of took me by surprise, but my go-to was Psalm 23 and read from that, and it provided some comfort, I think, to the folks. God's Word provides comfort, and it's not a dead word. It's active, and the Holy Spirit enlivens that to our hearts and ministers to us. So, dear pastors out there, always stick to God's Word because it has a marvelous work to do upon the hearts of the hearers. Even if they've heard it 100 times before, 1,000 times before, God still quickens it to your heart. Well, we've got a couple minutes left. Today we're talking with Pastor John Vance. The subject is the afterlife and passing on to glory. The Christian has much to look forward to. We're not going to spend much time on the non-Christian except to say that it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And God has no choice but to deal with sin. It's far better to receive Christ and see that your sins are dealt with in the person and work of Jesus Christ than to go into eternity on your own. Pastor, you can close it.
Well, I was thinking of what C.S. Lewis said, you know, about these matters. He says, God must honor your no. And if you say no, God in the end will honor your no.
That's right.
And he also honors your yes.
Yeah.
We receive an eternal gift through Jesus Christ our Lord. But I was reminded that we've been talking about the intermediate state and how much difficult it is to try to piece some things together. But there was a preacher I heard of, this is probably a made-up story, but anyway, he was trying to comfort the family, and he said at the funeral, they said, you know, this brother here in front of us, think of it this way, he said. He's just a shell, but the inside, the nut, has already gone on to heaven. And so that's a humorous story, but nonetheless, I want people to understand that the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us.
No.
Not only does he go with us to the end of the world, but he goes with us through death, for he, through his Son, has passed through death and tasted death for every man.
Amen. Amen.
And this is our promise and our hope, that he will is in this life all the way through till the eternal kingdom of God.
Amen. Today we've been talking with our dear friend, Pastor John Vance. If you have a question for him, just email us here at the ministry. Our address is ministry@redeemerbroadcasting.org. Pastor Vance, pray that the Lord watches over you and protects you and causes His grace to shine upon you and gives you many, many more years of ministry. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.